Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. As you know, I'm always fascinated by the creative process and how I believe that creativity is something that is so unique to the individual. So I'm always excited to welcome guests to our program that could share their not only their creative journey with you guys, but also, of course, let you guys know how you can be able to follow your own path along the way. Christopher D'Annunzio is another individual who's been able to do just that as a writer and director. He has a project called A Life Not to Follow that's getting great reviews. We're going to talk to him about that, but also about the courage to be able to do what he loves, and then, of course, to be able to see the way that people are responding about it. If you guys are just now hearing about A Life Not to Follow, I'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with the film itself. But, Chris, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Cyrus. Thank you for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. We're going to be speaking about A Life Not to Follow here in just a bit and let our listeners know how they can stay connected with it. But I want to talk about this journey for you, Chris, because I've noticed even on social media through especially Google+, you've been kind of keeping people updated on, you know, the reviews that are coming in for this project. I mean, what has it been like for you? Because I know this is something you've worked on for quite some time. What has it been like for you to see the way that people are responding to your work?
Anytime someone responds positively, you just feel really good about it. And it's kind of, honestly, once you get one good one, you just want to let people know about it, kind of feed off that energy. I like to look at them, see if there's anything I can learn, any sort of critique, and kind of basically just move on. You look on for what the next big thing is, what the next thing's coming in. You know, especially at the independent film level, you got to kind of let people know, hey, I'm here.
Right, exactly. And you've been able to do that, and I think that's been the great thing about you, Chris, is that you've been able to make sure that your particular voice, your particular point of view and way of telling a story is recognized. I mean, you know, where did that kind of begin for you when you realized that you had something special that you wanted to share?
You know, I don't know. When I'm proud of myself, early on, you like the idea of film. You're trying to find your way in the world, whether you want to be an artist, an athlete, or run a business. And so you kind of take that field. And I think for me, it was kind of, you know, I kept at it. I kept going. I think our first film, we did a really low-budget horror film called The Livestock. And people started taking me serious, whether they liked it or not. They were treating it like a real project. And that, just the fact that you were getting that kind of respect, that kind of led, she kept going, oh, hey, I just have to work on it. You know, people are obviously taking me serious. Right. And then I did a short film called Her Heart Still Beats, and kind of, it was based off of Edgar Allan Poe's short story. And everyone does one of those, but, you know, for me, it was a real link to getting involved in all this. And I did the film, I played in a bunch of festivals, and I just felt, like, happy to see it. And I just felt like that was happy that was out there, that type of quality was out there. And I was, and from that moment on, I kind of felt like, there's something we have going on. I have something here. I just got to keep building on it and trying to understand the craft more and better myself and keep throwing myself out there and see what happens.
Exactly. I think, you know, you bring up a really good point when you talk about building up on it, Chris, because, you know, I remember reading up on Livestock. That's been now almost 6 years ago, I think. And so here you are now with A Life Not to Follow. And do you think that consistency is also one of the reasons why you begin to get not only their respect, but also people are looking for what's coming up next for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you said, in the independent level, you really got to stick around, and I think consistency is a big part of it. We've had a lot of projects, especially out recently, coming out. But definitely, I agree, consistency is definitely a big part of it. And it's also, you know, when you direct and write, you don't get as much chances to work on your craft as, say, an actor, where they can bounce around from a project after project, which is great to do, especially when you're young. So you don't get too much. So you have to try to find out ways how to do it, how to work at it. You know, you definitely study the Robert Rodriguez School of Filmmaking, where you beg, borrow, and steal. Not literally, but figuratively.
Right.
But, you know, you got to do whatever it takes to kind of get your project made and keep doing it, because that's the great thing about filmmaking. I think, especially from a director's standpoint, especially for me, intuition plays a lot in the way I make decisions. Mm-hmm. But it is a craft, and it can be learned.
Exactly. I think that is a really good point. You know, I want to go to, actually, you alluded to Her Heart Still Beats. I hadn't planned on talking about that, but there is something that came to my mind as you were talking just then, and that is something I read you said about A Life Not to Follow, and that is your journey is not to, your goal is not to reinvent the wheel, but you are looking to be able to make your own imprint, to make your own stand. Do you think that's why you did get the response you got to Her Heart Still Beats? Because as you said, it's not so much the story, but the way that you were able to tell the story that got people's attention.
Yeah, I definitely think that's definitely helps. You know, with Her Heart Still Beats, the story we took, it was off the Telltale Heart, which mm-hmm. was basically about, you know, this guy is watching this old man. He starts hearing these noises and kind of goes crazy. So just taking a modern setting, we meet a husband and wife, which sounds generic, but I think for the poem in the tale, I should say, is kind of original because everyone really kind of plays it straightforward. So definitely, it's, you know, I think part of that, doing things like that, is actually paying attention to what's going on, being a little bit of a history buff, really plays an effect with A Life Not to Follow, where, and you have all these mob films where they glamorize it a little bit. And nothing against that, but so we're looking at it and saying, well, why glamorize? This isn't, we know this is a really tough life. We know this isn't, like, whether it's good or bad, you know, you don't play that side. Just think of the story. And it's a tough road, and there's a lot of downs, and there's a lot, you know, so it's easy to just, why not take that? You're already looking at something different if you kind of just take it from a little slightly different angle.
Right.
And that's kind of one way I have, you know, something that intrigues me is just kind of perspective.
Exactly, and that perspective is definitely something that people are paying attention to. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, he's on the Radio Dollar Online. You're listening to Conversations Live. Chris D'Annunzio is making his first appearance on our program today. We're talking to him not only about his journey as a writer and director, but what it's been like for him to share his own perspective with the world. I want to go back to Her Heart Still Beats for just a moment. Then we're going to move on to A Life Not to Follow, because the other thing about that was, here you have this short that you guys did, and as you even said, and this is the, I can think of great segue to A Life Not to Follow, you have it, you know, and become an official selection in these film festivals. I mean, what was that like for you? For one thing, to have the courage to submit, but then to actually have it selected.
Oh, selected, it's always, you know, you hear a million people say, like, one festival is better than the other and all that. Anytime a festival accepts your film, it's always an honor.
Right.
Because it gives you a chance to meet new people. It gives you a chance to show your film to other people. You know, the festival circuit, you know, things are changing and moving, but the festivals are still a great way to meet people to and show your film. So when you start seeing that, I mean, it feels good. It feels like, you know, what you're doing, like you were saying about being on the right path, it kind of feels like you're on the right path. Things start to connect. Those dots start to get connected.
Okay.
And so it's just a great feeling.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, and not only with that, I mean, you have, of course, the selections, you know, for the film festival, then you have, you know, the Best Male Actor nomination for that film as well. Do those little nuggets like that, do those little gems that you come across in, you know, doing projects like you do, Chris, is that also part of the ammunition and the fuel you use to keep going?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you get an actor that gets a, you know, best not, just a nomination, or, you know, it's, you know, as a director, you know, you have to work with a lot of people. It's your vision. Everyone's got to follow, but ultimately you're responsible for everything. So even though that actor deserves the credit 100%, you're still responsible for that. And that feels really good. And,
yeah,
you know, I take the approach where it's all, you know, it's all about the film. It's never about your ego. I, you know, I can't deal with divas. It's about what you can do to make the film better. And when someone gets noticed, that just helps the film, and that makes everyone look really good. So those things really excite me, and they do get you to, again, to build off it, to stick the confidence. You know, it's almost like you can say sports, like, you know, you start getting to a hitting streak or a groove. When you're hitting those, they're like hits, and you just keep building off that confidence and keep playing off it.
Right. Exactly. And that leads us right back into A Life Not to Follow, because, I mean, you know, as you're talking about, we were talking about the nomination for, you know, for the short, Her Heart Still Beats, you know, you have your actors in A Life Not to Follow already getting, you know, some great responses as well. I mentioned to you before we went live here, Chris, that trust is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because it's not only, of course, the trust you have to have in sharing your words, but then, of course, you know, to be able to know that, you know, those actors trust you you enough to be able to, you know, bring their best to that. What has that part of the experience been like for you? You've been hearing the response to the acting in your projects, like A Life Not to Follow. What has it been like for you to know that these individuals are so invested in bringing your words to life and doing them justice?
You know, it's great. I mean, it is a difficult process. I think it's a little bit more difficult on the actor side, believe it or not, at this level, too. You know, you get a lot of people who, they get on a lot of projects that don't really go anywhere. So sometimes it's really tough for them to just totally open up right off the bat. But I mean, you know, you got, again, as a director, you got to be a leader, and you got to have the confidence, or you know, at least the whole, the slogan, fake it till you make it, please fake it. But you gotta give that confidence. You gotta know what you're doing. I mean, what I really do is just try to understand what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do. You try to give everyone respect, and you think, you know, and hopefully that kind of plays back. They see that you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, you're not wasting people's time. It's also the way you handle yourself on the film set, making
right.
sure people are in on the right time, not wasting their time, you know, all that type of jazz there. But it's it's I don't think it's easy to get people's trust, and I don't know the science to that, but I do know it's about being a leader and about taking charge of your set and really understanding what you're trying to do and being able to articulate that to the actors. And I think when they see that, they jump on board, they can get involved. It's also has a lot to do with past work too, which is, again, hard when you're first starting, but once you start developing those films where they can see the quality work too, they realize that, okay, well, at least he knows what he's doing, he has quality. When they see you being fearless and going out there and getting reviews and doing that, they know that they're not wasting their time, and I think that's important for everyone.
Right. I think that is so true. Chris, courage is something that, you know, I mentioned, you've mentioned. I mean, I think, you know people in your field, and even just in life as I do, who very easily can say, well, I can do this or I can do that. They're not doing it, but they'll tell us, what they can and cannot do. What do you think it is about you that made you say, not only do I want to do this, but I'm going to do it? I mean, what was it that pushed you past just talking about it to actually doing it?
Well, everyone's a critic, so you know that one. But really, I think it's an outlook in life. You know, I believe you get one shot at life, and you gotta do what you love. And there's something with film, you know, there's a language there, and I might not understand it fully, but I can speak it, and I can say things through it, and it's a great feeling. So really, it's a tough choice. It's like, how do you figure out like what you really want to do? Trial and error, you know, traveling, trying to figure yourself out, I think is really that. And I think what I keep coming back to is moments on film sets where I've even said to myself, man, I feel so alive, you know, and it's like one of those things, you get that inner feeling. You're like, well, it doesn't matter if I'm a good filmmaker or a bad filmmaker. If I'm feeling like this, I got to keep going for it because, you know, it's my life. I got to enjoy it. And so if this is what's bringing me some pleasure, I this must be right.
All right. We've spent time talking about your part of the experience, Chris. We talked about, of course, the actors. They're important to it. But then there is the audience. When you hear someone who has seen something that you've created, something that has your name on it, and they tell you how much they enjoyed it, what does that feel like for you? I mean, what type of, you know, feeling does that give you when it comes to the creative process?
It's great. I mean, as far as the creative process, it's I don't know how much that has to do, but the feeling is great because, you know, you need an audience. Without an audience, you won't be there. You know, any successful career revolves people having fans and an audience. But when someone gets it, it's an awesome feeling. It's just, it's like hitting a home run, scoring a touchdown, that type of inner feeling. Because, you know, you're working so hard. And it's
right.
so easy to criticize a project and do that, but you've spent so many hours and so much sacrifice. So when someone gets it, it's almost a sign of relief in a way. You know, again, if they would say, oh, that was terrible, you go, whatever, you know, you didn't get it, it wasn't for you. But when someone turns around and gives you praise, it's nice. You try not to let it get to your head, but it's still, everyone wants, you know, no matter how tough a person seems to be, they always want to, you know, the praise. It's always nice to get.
Right. It definitely is nice to get, for sure. Again, everyone, I'm speaking to Chris D'Annunzio today. We're talking to him not only about his own journey to being able to do what he loves, but what it's been like for him to share that with all of you. A Life Not to Follow is the film that's getting a lot of great attention right now. How did this particular story come about for you, Chris?
Well, it's a tough one. I don't know the exact way, but I was the co-writer, Pedro Alvarado, we were both getting together, and he was writing a story, and I was trying to encourage him to write a story, and I had this kind of story I was working on. It wasn't developed yet. And then eventually, you know, we started looking at each other's pieces, and they said, why don't we connect them all? Why don't we just start connecting this and making a whole story based on it? We can treat the way the story is three tales that are interlacing. So we can almost take them as three separate projects, even though it's all connecting. It's one feature film. It was more of a kind of a production standpoint.
Right.
And I remember between the talks of that, I remember one time we were outside waiting for someone, and we just seen an incident, something happened with this whole, there was a hotel across the way, and you just hear these people arguing, who knows what was going on, if it was overblown or not. And then we're walking into this place, and there's like a whole other like action going on. I was just thinking of those, how you're just moving along, and you're seeing these stories, and they're all connected in the same world. And so we just kind of took it from there, and, you know, we just started putting them together. And then for the third piece, we just kind of decided to, let's retell the whole story. Let's, like, go backtrack. And it just came into this strange, really weaving of different tales. But they all revolve around, you know, the city of Boston and this kind of underworld. But it was really, it's kind of just, again, me and Pedro getting together, deciding how these two stories are very similar and how they can really work together. And then we just started working on interweaving characters, creating that world. I remember one time we got together and we were, I don't know how many hours we were talking just about the timeline. And it was
right.
Just like going over, making sure you have it. Because like I said, it being a very interweaved story and people coming in and out of it, you want to make sure that timing is there, you know?
Right.
But that was basically it. It was just kind of a, you know, two guys getting together, love movies, and we realized we had something there, and we just continued to work. And the working relationship with me and Pedro was great. You know, it was really good back and forth, and, you know, and it just kept developing into what it is.
Right, right. You know, I think that goes back to what we were saying, Chris, about trust, right? I mean, about, you know,
mm-hmm.
being able to, you know, to trust each other's vision and to be able to, you know, to bring that, you know, together to be able to make the best project possible. I mean, do you find that when you start, even though you don't do it for the accolades and even though you don't do it for, of course, people to pat you on the back, even though that's nice, do you find that to be an extra benefit of following this path and doing the work that you believe so strongly in?
Yeah, because it can pick you up when you're down. You know, it's definitely, you know, the one reason I always tell people I make films because I want to. You know, I make films about things I want to see.
Right.
And the reason for that is it's not as much as it's being selfish, but again, it goes back to the hours you spend, the time you spend. You've gotta like what you're doing.
Right.
You know, so you just do something you want. You kind of make it, what do you want to see? And then you really hope people jump on board. And when they do, it is great, and it can really push you to the next project. It can push you to making that next move. But yeah, definitely, like, you know, of course, we don't want to do it we're just doing it because we want to be creative. We want to do this for a living. But anytime someone can jump on with you and give you a pat on the back, I mean, that's always welcome.
Exactly, especially, yeah, because it is grueling work, and I think that's the thing. People don't realize how, you know, how long creatives like yourself stay with the story, you know, long before we see it. So to be able to appreciate that, what goes into that experience that we're able to enjoy, you know, to, you know, appreciate the mechanics of it, I think it definitely works. It makes it more worthwhile for us as well. Again, everyone, Chris D'Annunzio has been our guest today. Great conversation with you today, Chris. We've been talking to him not only about his journey as a writer and director, but also about his project, A Life Not to Follow, that's getting a lot of great buzz and feedback right now. So, Chris, how can our listeners stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up with the film?
Well, you can look up A Life Not to Follow on the Facebook page, and then we also have a Twitter page, which I believe is A Life Not to Follow, and the two is the number two. Mm-hmm. You can kind of stay connected there. Look me up. I'm easy to I'm easy to find. But basically, if they get onto the Facebook page and they get onto the Twitter page, we'll be keeping it updated with reviews, any festival news that comes in. You know, looking to have some distribution soon. So hopefully that will all come aligned and it can get out there a little further.
All right. Well, Chris, we really appreciate the time today. Glad you could stop by and looking forward to the next conversation with you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And look, glad to do it, man. We want to definitely thank Dale Weston of Action on Film for introducing me to Chris. And a lot of great guests I've been able to welcome to our program this year. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us, both for those joining us on the radio dial or as well as those joining us online around the world. We thank you for joining us as well. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation with Chris, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb. Or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on that link and listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.